Thank you so much for joining us this morning again. I'm so excited that you could come and be part of this service this morning, wherever you're watching from. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. I believe God wants to speak to you this morning. There is a word that God has placed on my heart, and I really believe it is for someone today. If your heart is open, the Lord will speak to you. If you do not mind, let's open our hearts and pray to the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning for the preaching of your word. We thank you that the entrance of your word brings light and it brings understanding to those of a simple heart. And this morning we open our hearts to you. Holy Spirit of God, we pray that you'd come and speak to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace that is sufficient at all times. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm so excited that today we are continuing on our series entitled Glory Dispensers. If you have joined us for the first time this morning, I want to encourage you to catch up with the rest of this series. We've done three parts already on Glory Dispensers. And this morning, I want to take you through part four of Glory Dispensers. Those who were there with us last week, you'd remember that we learned that glory dispensers are friends with the Holy Spirit. Glory dispensers are friends with the Holy Spirit. If you are to be used by God in the kingdom of God, you need to be friends with the Holy Spirit. It's not by power, it's not by might, but it is by His Spirit. We need to connect with the Spirit of God very, very closely. Now, this is what we're talking about, friends with the Holy Spirit. Let me just remind you of what we covered last week. Last week, we discovered that the Holy Spirit enables, capacitates, and supercharges a glory dispenser. When you are in the presence of a glory dispenser who is filled up with the Holy Spirit, you will know something happens through their lives. We also discovered that every believer has access to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Every believer has access to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Simply ask the Father and you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit and you'll be able to operate in power. You'll be able to dispense the glory of God. Hallelujah. And the third aspect we looked at is that as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, you need to make Him your closest friend. You need to make the Holy Spirit a close friend to you. And we discover two aspects that help us to walk with the Holy Spirit on a close proximity. And we said, firstly, you need to ask Him to lead you on a daily basis. What that means is that you remove your hands from the steering wheel and you allow the Holy Spirit to steer your life. You allow the Holy Spirit to guide you on a daily basis. Secondly, we said, you need to ask Him to teach you all things. You need to ask Him to teach you the do's and the don'ts. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher of all. When you walk with the Holy Spirit, you'll be amazed by what you will get to do. Because He will teach you to do things that you are not able to do in the natural. That you are not able to do by yourself in the natural. Now, we're going to continue this morning. Unpacking this whole principle of drawing closer to the Holy Spirit. How do we commune with the Holy Spirit? Now, if you've been in a relationship with someone, whether in a friendship relationship or in a marriage setup or in a business situation, or maybe you're working for somebody, you'll agree with me that the environment that is created in that friendship determines, number one, the quality of the relationship, and number two, the longevity of the relationship. You know, more and more you'd find that people are no longer really sticking to friends for long periods of time. And yet, back in the days, you'd find that our parents would have friends from kindergarten all the way until they got to the grave. But these days, we seem to change friends whenever it suits us. But I want to say this morning that the environment you create in your friendship determines the quality of that friendship. It determines the longevity of that relationship. And I want you to know that that environment, it is you who determines and it is you who shapes the environment that arises in the relationship. You can imagine working in a toxic environment at work. It becomes very difficult for you to be excited about your workplace. You wake up in the morning and you're just struggling to get ready for work. Why? Because the environment is toxic. I've worked in environments where it is so toxic. So toxic that you walk into the corridors, everybody is quiet. There's no talking, there's no laughter, there's no joy in that work environment. Why? Because the environment is toxic. And I came to realize that those people who stayed in that environment, it wasn't because they enjoyed their work, it was because they just wanted to be paid. Man, life does not have to be like that. You spend so much time at work, you better be in an environment that you enjoy. Let's talk about our marriages. When your marriage becomes toxic, I would say that that marriage becomes the closest thing to hell than anything else. Because when a marriage becomes toxic, it is such a difficult situation to deal with. That is why we need to ensure that we build and we cultivate the correct environment in our relationships. Many friendships are destroyed the moment one party feels are being taken advantage of. Have you ever felt like in this relationship, it seems to be one-way traffic? It is me who checks on this person. It is me who always bails this person out. It is me who ensures that it is well with this person. At some point, you will make a choice of leaving that relationship because you feel you're being taken for granted or you're being taken for advantage. Okay? Now, this morning, I want to ask you a question. Do you know that the Holy Spirit is a person and not a force? The Holy Spirit is a person and not a force. Now, that realization changes the dynamics in your relationship, in your walk with the Holy Spirit. When you are dealing with a force, you don't really care about the feelings of this force, do you? What you're really fixated about is how you can make use of that force to achieve your own agenda. Can you see the dynamics here that exists when you see the Holy Spirit as a force? You really don't care about the feelings of the Holy Spirit. What you're concerned about is how you can use the Holy Spirit for your own benefit. And yet that's not how the relationship was meant to be. We were supposed to be at the disposal of the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Holy Spirit now comes into your life as a person, it changes everything. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians have viewed the Holy Spirit as a force, as a dynamic out there, as just something that cannot be related to as a person. Now, listen to me. In order to make the Holy Spirit your closest friend, you need to start treating him like a person. In order to draw closer to the Holy Spirit, you need to start treating him as a person. Do you know that the Holy Spirit has the attributes of a person? The Bible tells us of the personality of the Holy Spirit. Saints, the moment you start looking at the Holy Spirit as a person, you then become aware that I need to pay attention to him. Because he's a person, he is walking right next to you. He is right there with you. Whatever you're doing, he's there with you. Can you imagine walking with a friend that you do not pay attention to? A friend that you ignore, you don't even consult? It's a matter of time before that friend draws back. Now, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is a person and there are personalities that you find in the Holy Spirit. Do you know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit can be grieved. We all know Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. This is what Paul says to the church at Ephesus. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Saints, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. There was a down payment that was done when the Holy Spirit came and it came into your life, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. To grieve means to afflict with sorrow, or to make somebody sad, or to make somebody sorrowful. Can you imagine how the Holy Spirit feels when we do things that make him sorrowful? Can you imagine what happens in the Holy Spirit when we grieve him by what we say, by what we think? Maybe it is because we did not know that the Holy Spirit is a person. Do you know that the Holy Spirit has a will to choose? The Holy Spirit has the will to choose. So when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, there is a will that he has. There is a will that he wants to implement in our lives, as the Father wants to do things in our lives. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. The Bible says here, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. This is talking about the gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The same Spirit works all these things, and the Spirit of God determines whether you're going to be an evangelist or a preacher or a teacher, a business person, a leader, a person of works, of service, whatever it is, as he wills, he distributes. It tells me something, that the Holy Spirit has a will to choose. Again, did you know that the Holy Spirit can be lied to? We can lie to the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? You remember the story of Ananias and his wife, how they brought money. And they said to the apostles, this is all the money that we acquired when we sold this piece of land. They lied to the Holy Spirit. And here Peter is saying, why did you decide? Why did you allow the devil to enter you to lie to the Holy Spirit? This tells me something, that when we are dishonest in what we do, it grieves the Holy Spirit. We are lying to the Holy Spirit. It is so important that we become aware of these things. He performs the acts of a person. It's only a person that can teach, who can guide, who can comfort, who can give a command. The Holy Spirit is your advocate. He represents you. Glory be to God. Now, this tells me something, that if I can pay attention to the Holy Spirit, there is a great deal of benefit that comes to my life. You see, when you relate with the Holy Spirit as a person, it is easier to allow him to work in you to fulfill the purposes of God. It is easy for you to surrender to the Holy Spirit. And I want you to take note of this. It is easier to surrender to a person than it is to surrender to a force or to an object. When you know that this is a person, it becomes easy to let go. It becomes easy to surrender to that person. Yes, I know there are a lot of people who have surrendered to different objects. Some have surrendered to their cravings, or they have surrendered to alcohol or to nicotine or whatever it is. But by and large, it is easier for us to surrender to a person. Glory be to God. It is weird to think of speaking to a force, but much easier to think of speaking to a person. You see, when you realize that the Holy Spirit is a person, it becomes easier to speak to him and say, Holy Spirit, what's on your mind this morning? I'm reminded of the book by Ben Hinn, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, which relates to how he related with the Holy Spirit. It is easier for you to wake up in the morning and say to your wife, good morning, darling, than it is easier for you to say good morning to your pedestal. Hello? So when you wake up in the morning and you know that the Holy Spirit is right there with you, it is easier for you to say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So this is so important. Now, just like in our relationships, if you are to make the Holy Spirit your friend, you need to create a conducive environment for him to operate. You see, when you have got a good friend and you don't treat him well, it's a matter of time before he signs out. Sometimes our friends do not say it verbally, they say it by their actions. You know what they say in churches? When people walk out, they vote with their feet. When people are in a church where they feel they're not being taken care of or things are a bit out of tilt, they vote with their feet. You do not see them in church anymore. Why? Because they sign out. Now, this is what happens in our relationships. Your friend who used to check on you day in, day out, you wonder now they have stopped doing that. They have checked out. Glory be to God. Now, I want you to know that the same applies with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He is gentle by nature. That is the nature of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will not force himself into an environment that is repulsive to him. So when you create the right environment, the Holy Spirit is attracted and he's around you. He starts suggesting things in your life. But when the environment you create is toxic, the Holy Spirit will keep quiet. Could that be the reason why we've not been hearing him speaking to us? Could that be the reason why he hasn't been guiding us and comforting us? It is because he's there, but the environment does not allow him to minister to us. Hallelujah. It is so important. When I think of environment, I think of a stream of water that is flowing with clean water that enjoys blossoming fish and all sorts of different animals in there are growing and enjoying the environment because the water is clean. The moment toxic substances are thrown into the water, guess what? The fish starts dying and the river starts smelling. Hallelujah. I'm talking about creating the right environment that will enable the Holy Spirit to come and to become a perfect helper. It reminds me of the relationship between a husband and a wife. The Bible says God was speaking to Abraham, to Adam rather, I will give you a helper meet for you, a helper that is that works for you. Glory be to God. Now Eve came to help Adam, and Eve is able to help as long as the environment allows her to help. So many times in our marriages, our wives are not able to help us the way they are supposed to because the environment is toxic. Because the husband does not allow the wife to help. Can I say this morning? When we do not create the right environment, the Holy Spirit is not able to come and to become that helper, the paracletus he is meant to become in our lives. Hallelujah. Now, create a conducive environment for the Holy Spirit to function. That is the point I'm trying to drive home. If you are to be friends with the Holy Spirit, you need to create a conducive environment for the Holy Spirit to operate. Now, if your closest friend runs away from a toxic environment, as I've alluded, the Holy Spirit will not function in a toxic environment. You see, there are environments where you can sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. You walk into a church and you see that the atmosphere is charged up with the presence of God. The worship is happening and sense the presence and the glory of God. And if you look deeper into that church, you would realize that the leadership of that church, they would have allowed the Holy Spirit to lead their worship. That leadership would have allowed the Holy Spirit to take charge of the preachings and the sermons that go on every single Sunday. That leadership would have allowed the Holy Spirit to take charge of their children's ministry. And when the Holy Spirit finds a place that is free, he comes in and he empowers the people of God for them to express the glory of God. Hallelujah. You see, there are lives that walk with the Holy Spirit. You look at those lives, they are fixated by creating a conducive environment. They are fixated by desiring to honor Jesus by what they do. Hallelujah. This is so, so important. Now, Paul teaches the Roman church about how to create this environment. And we're going to go on a journey on how to develop and how to create this environment where the Holy Spirit is so welcome. So let's build this concept line upon line. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. The Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." One of the ways of creating a conducive environment for the Holy Spirit to operate, it is to become conscious of your victory over sin through Jesus Christ. I want you to realize that the moment your mind is conscious of your victory over sin, that is the beginning of you creating an environment where the Holy Spirit can flourish. The intention of the devil is to keep you stuck in a place of condemnation. But where we have read, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, the devil will come into your life and he wants you to feel as if you're the worst of sinners under the earth. He wants you to feel like you are not able to overcome the temptations that he throws at you. Whenever you miss the line, whenever you miss the mark, because that is what sin is, it's when we miss the mark. The devil will come into your life and he will condemn you. Hello, somebody. The enemy wants you to be stuck in a place of condemnation. And I want you to know that as long as you feel condemned, you do not have the confidence to approach God. You do not have the confidence to actually allow the Holy Spirit to be part and parcel of your life. You see, when condemnation runs in your life, it results to high levels of guilt. And when guilt overstays in your life, it results to a sense of shame. You see, guilt is when you feel bad about what you did. But when guilt overstays its welcome in your life, it leads you to a place where you feel bad about who you are. When you feel bad about who you are ashamed of your life. There is shame that comes upon you. And the moment you are stuck in that place of shame, there is no room for you to look at things of the Spirit. There is no room for you to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life because you say to yourself, I am dirty. I do not deserve to have the Holy Spirit come into my life. I do not deserve to have the Holy Spirit help me to go through this. You will stop talking to the Holy Spirit the moment you feel like your life is dirty. That is why Paul was saying to the church, he was saying, yeah, there is therefore no condemnation. And this morning, I want you to know, when you are in Christ Jesus and you confess your sins, the Bible tells us that he is faithful, that he will forgive you and he will not remember your sins anymore. He is faithful and just to forgive us. The enemy wants you to live a life that is conscious of sin all the time. And the moment you are sin conscious, you are not able to be righteous conscious. Glory be to God. Every child of God needs to make a move from a place where they are conscious of sin to a place where they are conscious of the righteousness of God. The moment you are conscious of the righteousness of God, there is no room for you to always go back to the life of sin. Glory be to God. And this morning, the desire of the Holy Spirit is for you to be conscious of the fact that there is an ability in you to overcome sin. You need to know that the moment you said yes to Jesus, the power of sin was broken over your life. The power of sin was broken over your life. You need to rise up and shake off that sin that has been causing you to trip all the time, because you've got the power, you've got the ability to say no to sin. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to hear this morning, that there's an ability that came upon you. The moment you said yes to Jesus, there's an ability over your life to say no to the things of the flesh. The Bible says in verse 2, where we have read, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, has made you free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. The Bible says, whom the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. You've been set free from every form of sin. But today, if you look at your life, you are able to say, I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is further affirmed in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. The Bible says, for whatever is born of God. Are you born of God this morning? Are you born of the Spirit this morning? If the answer is yes, the Bible is saying here, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, overcomes the flesh, overcomes the system that governs this world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith in the resurrected Christ. That is what gives us victory over the cravings of the flesh. That is what gives us victory over the what appeals to our eyes, what appeals to our taste buds. We are able to overcome because Jesus rose on the third day. Glory be to God. Every man who is a true Christian gains victory over the world. This realization is the starting point to creating an environment that is conducive to the working of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When you realize that there's no condemnation, when you realize that after confessing my sins, I'm able to walk again and relating to the Holy Spirit, it becomes easy for you to open up to His help. Does somebody hear me this morning? You are more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It doesn't matter how strong that temptation is. The Bible tells us that through the same temptation, the Lord will make a way for you to come out of it. I wish somebody would hear me this morning. So it is important for you to be conscious of the fact that you've got victory over the law of sin. You've got victory over every incapacitating sin that you are carrying all the days of your life. Just because Jesus said, it is finished. Hallelujah. When you have this realization, it is important for you to discipline your mind, to focus on things of the Spirit. Yes, you've realized that I'm more than a conqueror. You've realized that sin has no hold over you. You've realized that there's nothing that can drag you back again because of the power of the cross. You need to discipline your mind. That word to discipline, it is when you enforce certain strenuous mechanisms in your life right now in order to achieve what you want tomorrow. It is when you deprive yourself of certain things today in order to gain that which you really, really want to have. So you need to discipline your mind to focus on the things of the Spirit. Because it is your choice. I was doing a Bible study with my kids last night, and we were talking about the power of choice. And I was saying to them, it is your choice to feel bad when somebody is mean to you. It is your choice to clean up your room or to stay in a smelly room. I was saying to them, it is your choice to become a doctor one day. If you can work hard, you can achieve whatever you want. It comes down to choices that we make. Now, it is your choice to focus on the things of the flesh or to focus on things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You see, when you are born of God, there is a shift that takes place in your spirit. Your spirit man is made alive. You become alive to the things of the Spirit. Because before Christ came into your life, you were only inclined to the things of the flesh because your spirit man was dead. But when Jesus came into your life, your spirit man was regenerated. However, there is a raging battle inside of you. Your spirit man is regenerated. Your spirit man is born again, but your flesh is not born again. No flesh can be born again. That is why there is a continual battle in every believer, because there's an old man that is still around you, and there's a new man that was introduced by the coming of salvation. Now the choice is yours, which man you will allow to rule your life. Does somebody hear me this morning? So there are two natures now at work in your body. The old man and the new man. Look at this in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 verse 18. This is Paul. He says here, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh dwells no good thing." That is in your flesh. There's absolutely nothing good about the flesh, about the carnal nature of humanity. "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I do not find. For I do not do the good that I desire, but the evil which I do not will, that I do." How many of us want to do the right thing, but we slip off sometimes? We fail. We want to forgive, but we feel this grudge rising up in our hearts. We want to just make sure that this person realizes that they've done something wrong. That is the flesh speaking there. That is the old man calling you to revenge. This is the old man telling you you need to square up. You need justice to be done. Now he says here in verse 20, "But if I do what I do not desire, it is no more I working it out, but sin dwelling in me." Verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" How many of us experience this battle every single day? There is war going on in you right now. There's a Jacob's inside of you and there's an Israel inside of you. But there was a change that took place. It doesn't matter how it feels like your flesh is strong. The moment you got born again, your spirit man is much stronger. When you pay attention to the work of the Spirit in your spirit man is much stronger. You need to feed your spirit man so that your spirit man gets so strong in order to tell the flesh to obey. Hallelujah. The scale has to tilt. You see, your flesh is not born again. And your flesh is carrying all these experiences. I don't know, maybe you're 32 years old. Your fleshly tendencies are 32 years old. The habits are 32 years old. And then your spirit man gets born again. Your spirit man is still a baby. But when you pay attention to your spirit man, you feed the spirit man with the word. You spend time in the presence of God in prayer. Your spirit man gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And before you know it, you are able to tell your fleshly tendencies to stay where they belong. Hallelujah. You're able to say, "No, I'm not going to do that because I carry the Spirit of God inside of me." Hallelujah. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Who shall deliver me? Now, this morning, I want you to realize that the ability to create a conducive environment for the Holy Spirit is the doing of the Spirit. Isn't that exciting? That it's a hand and glove situation. The Holy Spirit is saying, create the right environment. He doesn't leave you to your own mechanisms. He says, "I can come and help you to create that environment." That is why Paul says, "Oh, what a wretched man who can save me from this body of death." You need the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. You cannot stop lying by yourself. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. You cannot stick it out in prayer for longer periods of times by yourself. You need the work of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be disciplined to read the word by yourself out of your fleshly trying. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. You cannot help it to listen to the word all the time unless you allow the Holy Spirit to prompt you and to lead you into that place of being so disciplined. That's why the Bible says it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Now, the very things I'm talking about, overcoming sin, the very things I'm talking about, getting into the Word, getting into more praying, it is what creates the environment for the Holy Spirit to work in your life. A person of the Word, a person of prayer, a person who is disciplined in these spiritual disciplines, they're a person of his presence. They are people of the presence of God. And when you are around them, you can sense the presence of God. Hallelujah. Because they just breathe the presence of God. They carry the presence of God. I tell people in our church that when you come to church, you need to bring the presence of God with you. Because whatever you were doing last night, you're going to bring it to church in the morning. So when you were, if you were in prayer last night, you will bring prayer in the morning, glory be to God. It becomes easier for you to tap into what God is doing. But guess what? If you spent last night at the bar, okay? There are Christians who go to bars. Well, it's their choices. But if you spent your time in the bar last night, you wake up in the morning, your spirit man is not tuned to what God is doing. You rock up at church. Guess what? You'll be as dry as a dry tree. And then you start blaming people. This church does not have the presence of God. Well, did you bring the presence of God with you? So, so important. Now, I want you to realize that your mind plays a key role in this whole process of deciding, of choosing to creating a conducive environment. Listen to this. Your mind is one of the greatest spiritual tools a human being possesses. It is one of those, the greatest spiritual tools that you possess. God wants to use your mind. If God wants to reach you, he'll ensure that your mind is in the right frame of mind that is able to deposit his thoughts in your mind. Glory be to God. The Lord wants to use your mind to get through to you. He wants to deposit thoughts so that you know God is speaking to me right now. Hallelujah. But at the same time, Diabolos, the father of lies, wants to have access to your mind. The devil wants to come and dwell into your thoughts, depositing lies into your thoughts, so that in the process of those lies taking root in your life, they result in strongholds. And when there are strongholds in your life, it results in the operation of demonic entities. Can you see how your mind is a powerful tool in the spirit? Somebody says, an idle mind is a playground of the devil. An idle mind is a playground of the devil. So if your mind is not occupied by things of heaven, the devil will come and take occupation of your thoughts. Did you know that you are separate from your thoughts? You are not your thoughts. Therefore, if you apply discipline to your thoughts, you are able to dictate what type of thoughts, whether they are coming from God or they are coming from Diabolos. If they are coming from God, you need to dwell on those thoughts. But if they are coming from Diabolos, you need to remove those thoughts. Because when the devil has access to your mind, he's able to pollute your life. Whatever you think about and you think about, you will bring about. Somebody said that. It is important for you to realize that when you dwell on a thought for a long time, it is a matter of time before you act out. Before a murder is committed in the physical realm, it would have been committed in the mind. So murders can be stopped in the mind before they manifest out in the world, in the physical realm. God wants to use your mind. The devil wants to use your mind. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. The Bible talks about pulling down. You literally have to be so disciplined to discard imaginations. When your mind is playing games with you, you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it. Or this marriage will end in divorce. This marriage will end in divorce. You need to lay hold of those thoughts and cast them down in the name of Jesus. If your mind is playing games with you, you're going to catch the coronavirus. You're going to catch the coronavirus. You need to cast down those imaginations. Pulling down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. I want you to understand this morning that thoughts that are not obedient to Christ need to be removed. They need to be put into captivity. Bringing into captivity, you need to lock them out and throw them out of your life. Does somebody hear me this morning? We allow our minds to take us astray. This morning, I want to ask you a question. The percentage of your mind share that is being used by the devil right now, how much is it? The percentage of your mind share that is being used by God, how much is it? It is so important that you are aware of your thought patterns, because when you are aware of them, you are able to control them more. Glory be to God. Somebody said, awareness creates empowerment. When you are aware of something, you are better positioned to deal with it. And you know what? You have seen this pattern happening from time and time again. Before you get into a fight with your wife, you know the type of thoughts that come into your mind. If you don't want to get into the fight, you better deal with the thought first. Hello? You need to deal with the thought, because when you can capture that mind, when you can capture that thought, you will not end up fighting with your wife. Glory be to God. Take note of this. When you fail to take charge of your thoughts will take charge of you. When you fail to take charge of your thoughts will take charge of you. This is so, so important that we need to come to that place of taking charge of our thoughts. If you look at Romans 8, verse 5, the Bible says, those who live according to the flesh, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Saints, your flesh has cravings. Your flesh desires certain things. Your flesh does not want you to be with your family right now. Your flesh wants you to go somewhere else, away from your family. Your flesh has desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Can you see here? The Spirit is a person. He has desires. There are desires that the Holy Spirit has. And this morning, what is desired by the Spirit in your life right now? What is desired by the Spirit? If you don't have an answer, you can go to Galatians 5:22. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. That is what the Spirit of God wants you to dwell on. The issue of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. These are the things that you need to dwell on if you are to create a conducive environment for the Holy Spirit to abide. Listen to this. A mind governed and controlled by the flesh creates a toxic environment for the Holy Spirit. A mind that is governed and controlled by the flesh creates a toxic environment for the Holy Spirit. And when it is toxic, the Holy Spirit pulls back. The Holy Spirit cannot do much in an environment that is toxic. You know, I was meditating on this aspect of the flesh, and I was wondering, what type of a mind is this that is controlled by the carnal nature? This, now I've written down a number of things. This is a mind controlled by your carnal nature, your cravings, the things that you desire in the flesh. This mind has no restraints at all. It is loud and busy, preoccupied by its own agenda. I'm talking about a mind that is controlled by the flesh. This mind seeks to please itself, and it is selfish at its core. It wants its own way all the time. This mind does not listen to any other voice other than itself. This mind is always right. Yeah, this mind is always right. It's either its way or no way. This mind loves what feels good and not what is necessarily right. It is driven by convenience and not by conviction. This is the mind we're talking about this morning. And the Bible is very clear about this mind. Look at verse 6, okay? It says here, the mind governed by the flesh is death. When you carry this type of mind and you dwell on things of the flesh, the result end is death. Remember, the Bible says in Romans, for the wages of sin is death. So when we serve sin as our master, the end result is lack of life. The end result is the Holy Spirit pulling away. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God, is toxic to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And if you cannot please God, it is impossible to actually obey what God wants you to do. So when we allow the flesh or the world to control us, we become unfaithful to God. Remember, the moment you get born again, you are engaged to the bridegroom. You are engaged to the Lord Jesus. There is a relationship going on here. And when you want to see the whole issue of being unfaithful to God, you've got to go in the Old Testament, where it will speak of an adulterous generation. It will speak of the unfaithful bride. Now, I like the way this is positioned in James 4, verse 4, in the Passion Translation. The Bible says, "You have become spiritual adulterers who are having an affair." This is what it comes to. When you are born again, and yet your mind is being driven by your fleshly tendencies, it puts you in the category of adulterers. It puts you in the category of those who are unfaithful, infidel. Okay? It says here, "You have become spiritual adulterers who are having an affair, an unholy relationship with the world." Don't you know that flirting with the world's values places you at odds with God? You know how people flirt, giving signs and indication that are interested in a relationship? You're busy flirting with the things of this world. You're busy flirting with things that tickle your flesh. The Bible is saying here, when you do this, you are at odds with God. "Whoever chooses to be the world's friend makes himself God's enemy." Makes himself God's enemy. The Bible says here in verse 5, "Does the scripture mean nothing to you that says the spirit that God breathed into our hearts is a jealous lover who intensely desires to have more and more of us?" The Holy Spirit wants to have more and more of us. But the question is, are we creating an environment that is conducive for him to operate? When we do that, he comes. And then when there is that interaction with the Holy Spirit, it results in the conception of things of the Spirit. When we are intimate with the Holy Spirit, when we are communing with the Holy Spirit, it results in us giving birth to the things of the Spirit. You become pregnant with things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You start carrying dreams for God. You start carrying wisdom from God. You start carrying solutions for the church. What am I saying this morning? You and I have a responsibility to create that environment that is conducive to the Holy Spirit. I don't know where you're at right now, but if you are to become a glory dispenser, you need to be a friend of the Holy Spirit. And to be a friend of the Holy Spirit, you need to create the right environment that works for him. Glory be to God. I trust you are blessed today, and I want us to pray. We're going to ask right now that God would do a deeper work inside of us, that we become aware that we are more than conquerors. We become aware that there's no condemnation when we come before God. So let us pray. I'm going to pray for you right now as you pray for yourself. Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit our lives into your hands. Lord, we've heard your word, and I pray for your people, each one who is watching right now. Lord, you know their struggles, you know their battles, how the environment they have created has not been conducive for the working of the Holy Spirit. Today, I pray for the help of the Holy Spirit, for them to be reminded that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for them to know that they have the strength to overcome every temptation that comes their way. Lord, I pray right now for those who are struggling with the thought patterns that they've allowed to come into their minds. Father, give them the strength to pull down, to put into captivity thoughts that are not in line with the thoughts of God. Father, I thank you this morning for your goodness and for your love for your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. If you've heard my word today and you are saying, you know what? I'm not born again. I don't know Jesus. I don't know what it means to walk in the Spirit. I've never heard this being taught. I want you to know the starting point is to opening up your heart to Jesus, to believe that He died for you on the cross and that you cannot help yourself. It's not just praying that brings salvation into your heart. It is when you believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord and that He came to open up the way for you to meet the Father. So if you are there right now and you've heard me, I want to lend you my words and you want to pray this prayer to Jesus. Say after me, "Dear Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. I realize that I'm a sinner and that I cannot help myself. Today I come to you. I am sorry for all my sins. Please forgive me and make me a child of God. I believe that it is only through you that I can be saved and that you are the only way to God. Today I give my life to you. Thank you for coming into my life and making me a child of God. From today, I belong to you and you belong to me. Holy Spirit, help me to walk this journey. In Jesus' name, amen." Well done if you have prayed that prayer. Your spirit man has been changed immediately, right now, and Jesus loves you. If you need information that will help you to walk this walk, drop us an email. Go to our website, godchurchpretoria.co.za. Under our contact page, you'll find a form there. Send us an email and we'll send you some discipleship material. And again, to everyone that has joined us today, thank you so much for being part of this broadcast. I want to encourage you to continue giving towards the ministry. We still need to meet our bills every single month. And God bless you for all of you who have been faithful. And those who have not been able to give, may the Lord bless you with your seed. May He increase you from here on. And thank you so much for being with us today. Until we meet again next week on the same channel at the same time, God be with you. Amen.